I couldn't stop if I wanted to. A 9-to-5 is something that I don't wanna do. Sit in the cubicle miserable as I slave away, getting complacent with life as my dreams fade away. Nah, motivation to go harder. I'd rather spit that real shit, I'd probably die martyr. They wanna ride the wave, I hope you got your surfboard, cause it's a high tide though, we try and ball like the Carters.
Good morning, good evening, good night, folks. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your Five Tool Sports Podcast. I'm here with all the tools today. We have Nasty Nate Parker.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's going on, bud? We got CSPN Calvin McLaughlin Jr. with the fresh braids.
What it do, fellas? What it do? What it do?
One blood.
Hey.
Brandon Coach Lumberg.
What's up, Woody? I feel like we're doing this a second time for some.
NFL news. Justin Fields. We got a big old thick show, guys. We're going into the NFC West today. We only got a little bit of NFL news, got a little bit trivia for you. Deja vu, everyone's going to give the same answers of the deja vu. All right, guys.
Thanks.
Or we can all just get it right this time.
I got you. Hey, look, I'm always prepared. Snow that.
All right. Snow that.
But
Justin Fields, he's been toppling down draft boards a little bit. You got Chris Sims saying he's the lesser of all the quarterbacks evaluated in the draft. Even Mac Jones, it's just baffling to me on that one. But he revealed that he has epilepsy to his teams that are considering drafting him. Is this the reason why he's falling? Is he trying to crash and go to the Patriots, link up with Billy Bell?
Hey, look. First of all, we've already addressed why his stock is falling, okay? It's because he's black.
Number Trey one. Lance is black.
Number two. Yeah, but, I mean, it's easy to nitpick at Trey Lance. I mean, he played at North Dakota State, clean pocket, better athlete, no competition. But Justin Fields, you can't say any of that stuff about him. But, look, to your Bill Belly point, a brother does not want to go and play for New England. Like the lore that was there when Tom Brady was there isn't there right now. So that's pretty much what it comes down to. I don't think he's going to risk millions of dollars to go to a good spot at pick 15 when he can go to some really good spots within the top five. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know.
You know, I'm speculating that, you know, he probably knew about this ahead of time, or excuse me, NFL teams might have already known it, something that they're going to hold back until potentially right before the draft, something else to release to maybe get him tumbling backwards a little bit. I could see a team doing that potentially. Obviously, I'm speculating that, but I mean, we've seen crazier things happen, right?
So that's
Fields,
true.
Fields just getting out in front of it. I mean, that's a smart thing to do.
And I think you said it best the other day when you said, has he done it on the football field?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, look, if he seized up on the football field, that's the question you got to ask. And I'm not talking before the game, after the game. If he seizes up 10 minutes before, you know, kickoff, wipe his mouth, you make sure he's good, and you say, son, can you lead us? If he seizes up after the football game, after a football game you didn't win, it's not a big deal. But, you know, if, you know, 2 minutes to go, the cannons in Tampa Bay go off and he throw a pick, we got problems.
Well, it's a good thing quarterbacks carry a towel.
Yeah, Fields, I mean, you know, the reports out there are saying that he hasn't really ever had, like, a major issue like that before, so.
Yeah, no, that's good. Hey, guys, I just want to let you know, we got some amazing draft coverage coming up in the next week. We're teaming up with our partner site, Football Scout 365, and we are diving into some major draft coverage. We're going to be using their whole draft packet for our research. We're all going to put our GM hats on. We're going to do a mock draft. We're going to do live draft coverage on the night of the draft in the first round on our Twitch channel, Five Tool Sports Podcast. Check that out. You know, when we come back, though, CJ's going to hit us with some trivia focused on the NFC West, the division that we are focusing on today, and we'll be right back.
Hey guys, Nate here, and you know I love watching and analyzing football. There's nothing that trumps my data and stat analysis combined with the good old eye test. But you know, where you get the numbers matters. If you want to make sure that the numbers you're getting are going to match what you're seeing on the field, go ahead and give our sister side a check. FootballScout365.com, created by Brandon Lundberg. Football Scout 365 has in-depth analysis for both pro and college football. Football Scout 365 has numerous tools, such as the NFL Situational Analysis Tool, NFL Free Agent Analysis Tool, and the oh-so-important NFL Mock Drafts, but not too many of them, because who knows what's really going to happen on draft day. I use Football Scout 365 daily, and you should too. So go on over to FootballScout365.com and check them out. Welcome to 5 Tool Trivia.
Welcome back, 5-2 sports fans. It's your boy CSPN, and you know I'm always bringing some trivia for the guys, for the listeners out there. And today we have some really, really good trivia. as what he said before break, we're focusing on the NFC West. That's who we're going to cover today, so just keep that in mind. With that said, today's 5-2 sports trivia question is, who are the only two quarterbacks in NFL history to throw for 6,000 yards and rush for 1,000 yards in their first 25 games? I'm going to repeat it one more time. Who are the only two quarterbacks in NFL history to throw for 6,000 yards and rush for 1,000 yards in their first 25 career games?
Mike Vick, Cam Newton.
Mike Vick, Cam Newton. All right. Those are some good guesses. Nate. What you got for me?
Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson.
Okay, okay. And last but definitely not least, Brandon Lundberg.
Man. We go Cam Newton.
Okay.
Lamar Jackson.
Cam Newton and Lamar Jackson. All really good guesses, guys. And Cam Newton is one of the quarterbacks, so good job on that one.
F*** you, Brandon.
I'm gonna read it for the listeners out there one more
I believe Warren Moon was also in your head, Brandon, eh?
Who are the only two quarterbacks in NFL history to throw for 6,000 yards and rush for 1,000 yards in their first 25 career games? Cam Newton is one of the correct answers, and the other answer was Kyler Murray.
Oh, Kyler, duh, NFC West.
I know, man, right?
Some of us stuck to our original answers and like just took the double L, but I mean, some of us had to look a little better for the camera.
Hey, you know, it happens.
Well, unfortunately, we have to f-ing re-record this shit.
Take two. We lost some footage before, folks, so this is a little bit of a redo on the first part of the podcast. Well, let's talk about the Arizona Cardinals. Last year, the Arizona Cardinals, they started off on fire. Nate even picked them to win the NFC West. And midway through the year, Cliff Kingsbury, he...
Wait, whoa. You said Nate did what?
Nate tried to pick the Cardinals to win the NFC West.
Flush that down the toilet.
That was perfect timing.
That was good. Oh, man. Yeah. And so the Cardinals, they faltered the middle of the year. It seemed like Cliff's play calling was a little suspect in the fourth quarters of games, and there wasn't consistency. They had problems building up the running game when they needed it most. Weakness up the middle. And it looks like they may have solved that, bringing in all-pro center Rodney Hudson. They also brought in A.J. Green and J.J. Watt and Malcolm Butler. But they did lose Kenyon Drake, who's their main starter running back last year, Patrick Peterson, and Hassan Reddick. So there's some give and take there. Let's talk about Kyler Murray, though. Kyler Murray last year, I mean, it was his coming out party. He may have had the NFL Play of the Year with that Hail Mary with DeAndre Hopkins. Is Kyler Murray going to take another step and get even better this year?
Definitely.
Talking about Kyler Murray.
I mean, I expect Kyler Murray to – I mean, look, his first two seasons were really, really good seasons, especially given the circumstances, smaller quarterback, all the questions they asked about him coming into the league. I think at this point, especially after last year, we can say Kyler Murray is built for the NFL. He is an NFL quarterback. It comes down to Cliff Kingsbury. Can Cliff Kingsbury continue – or I won't even say continue – put him in the best situations to be successful. And I think that starts with just his development as a passer. Not saying he's not a great passer already. I just want to see him run less, stay in the pocket a little more, protect him a bit. And, I mean, hey, they could potentially be dangerous in 2021.
Yeah, I can see that. And I think, too, I mean, Kyler Murray's got a – he's a guy who you want to see stay upright and running the football at his size. I know a lot of people called that out, but he does such a fantastic job avoiding contact in the open field, getting out of bounds, all those things. Has that Russell Wilson escapability, so to speak, but he's just such a dynamic player. And I know we've had discussions before, you know, about, you know, Lamar Jackson, for example, and him taking hits in the past and things of that nature. Murray avoids that kind of thing. I'd like to see Kyler Murray, though, more kind of stand in there and throw it. He's so accurate. He's a good player who can play within a system, so to speak. But again, I think what he does for Kingsbury is when things break down or Kingsbury's offense becomes super predictable and defenses are able to identify things pre-snap consistently within, you know, their system. I think Murray does a lot for the offense in terms of doing things with his legs. And I think ultimately Murray is bailing them out a lot of times in extending drives. So we'll see.
And we didn't see a lot of parity in those routes either. Like, it's a lot of repetitive route running in the air raid offense. So defenses do know what's coming as the game goes on.
Yeah,
right. For sure. Unless you're Kansas City.
Yeah.
You're super creative and you build on that. You know what I mean? Cliff Kingsbury is the poor man's Andy Reid, a 500 coach at best.
Yeah.
Super. So you don't think Cliff will be able to – this team is kind of cut off at the knees with Cliff Kingsbury.
Let's talk about that real fast, real fast. I have some numbers here. Cliff, you know, a year ago, look at the offense. They averaged 30 points per game during the first half of last season. They ended up averaging only 21 points per game the second half of the season. And as you guys remember, they started out 5-2. To start the season, then they finish 3-6, right? You know, Cliff Kingsbury's in a division where every other coach has been to the Super Bowl, right? So it's, you know, he is obviously the fourth rated coach in the division. And in order for him to take that next step, I think it's going to be his offense becoming more diverse in what it can do. He's got the players. So really, I think the question comes down to, is Cliff fit for the role that he's in currently? And again, he's 3-9 versus the NFC West in two seasons. So
that's a telling stat right there. In division, that bad of a record. That's a warning.
You got to win your division games. It's where it starts. That's where it starts every season. I mean, I feel like in high school and college sports, teams kind of pay more attention to, okay, this is what we need to do. Our first objective is to win the division and beat the teams within our division. Whereas the NFL, it's like playoffs, Super Bowl. But no, how about we try to be competitive in our division? Let's at least play 500 ball in our division and look like we belong in our division. So,
I mean, well, you arguably have the second best quarterback potentially in the division.
Nate was saying something really earlier on the last recording, very interesting, I think, relevant with Kyler Murray. With his baseball background, he has a lot of baseball in his throwing motion, and that we saw some shoulder injuries last year, right, Nate? Do you think in the future that would come across?
I think it just depends. So, yeah, Kyler Murray has a lot of baseball whip action in his throwing motion, which is concerning because of the injury to his throwing shoulder last year. He had an AC joint sprain, which is not a quick recovery, especially for someone who uses their arm as powerfully and as often as he does. And Brandon alluded to this, like most guys, when they get to this point in their career, they don't mess with their throwing motion. It is set. It's going to be what it's going to be.
You mentioned Tom Brady though.
Yeah. So if you go through like and watch film on Tom Brady from when he got into the league, and every season, like his general throwing motion doesn't really change, right? So he makes the C, he's got a quick release, and it might change based on the depth of the throw, but the little nuances of how he uses and engages his hips to actually drive the ball downfield, which Kyler Murray doesn't. Kyler Murray, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, guess what? They don't have to do that. They're under 25. They've got massive rocket arms. Yeah. Because
that Hail Mary was all arm. That was
exactly. And one of the things you'll notice is even Aaron Rodgers, as of lately, has changed his throwing motion to be more lower body dependent, because it might not necessarily be that he can't drive the ball 50, 60 yards down the field, but the longevity of being able to play football from the quarterback position means you need to be able to use your arm and use it efficiently. And it can't just be sore all the time, which is one of the things that even Tom Brady said, and Bruce Arians was like, it's like Tom didn't have to throw every day. For the first time in his career, he didn't have to throw every day in a practice.
Yeah, well,
and Tom's arm looked fresh during that Super Bowl.
Yeah, Kyler's not at that point yet, but I mean, he might have to be into his career to take care of that shoulder if it's a reoccurring issue. Let's talk about the Arizona Cardinals. They're kind of doing a remake on defense. The people I would like to focus on here is the pickup of J.J. Watt, what it does for the defense, what it does for Chandler Jones specifically, and then Isaiah Simmons, the first-round pick from last year, athletic freak, combine warrior. He showed some flashes, but we're wondering if he can take the next step, because he was far from a starter last year with consistency in play. So, guys, what do you think about Isaiah Simmons? Does he become the player they thought he was? What was he, the number four overall pick?
Yeah, he's taking super highs. You alluded to what he was, a workout warrior at the combine. I mean, look, turn on the tape at Clemson, and he still pops. The tape doesn't lie. He's a good player. He was versatile. I know me and Brandon talked about his versatility earlier. What I would like to see Arizona do is kind of find his position. I understand how versatile he was in college, moving him around, and he was such a great athlete that he could succeed, and he was superior at a lot of those positions. But in the NFL, all these guys are in the NFL for a reason. So I just want to see him really learn one position, maybe learn the linebacker spot, and then you can build off of that. He has tons of upside. You don't just wake up one morning and be 6'4", 230 plus pounds running a sub 4.4. So.
No, yeah. That's true.
I mean, if you look at his snap count too, CJ, you know, this guy, if you go back to his Clemson days, as you were alluding to, and as we had talked about before, you know, he's a guy who could line up on the defensive line, linebacker, and he's a guy who could play safety. I know against Ohio State in the national championship game, not this previous year, but the final game the previous year in 2019, he lined up at safety one play. He was at the line of scrimmage the next. So he's affecting, the line of scrimmage as a pass rusher, one down, and he's back there intercepting a pass, playing deep middle safety against Justin Fields. So
crazy. Crazy deep middle safety lineup in the nickel sometimes.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's unheard of to go from a down lineman to possibly a nickel corner or deep safety.
Right. And you know, to touch on that again, with the Cardinals, they used him very similarly to that. And, you know, he had 89 snaps on the defensive line. He had another 193 as in like the linebacker role. He played slot corner, wide corner, free safety. He was on kick coverage, punt coverage. So the guy doesn't really, in my eyes, he doesn't have a clearly defined role. Giving him something to master, I think, will help him develop a little bit more so he can build off of that, and then you can move him around.
Exactly.
Some other stuff with him.
There you go. There you go, coach. That's exactly what I want.
What does J.J. Watt do for this defense? Obviously, last year, what does he would do for this defense? Obviously, last year, they didn't have that interior pass rush on the 3-4. And J.J. Watt, although he may not be his most dominant form last year, coming back from those multiple back injuries years in a row, but he did grade out well. He was still above average for sure. He was in the top 10 at his position.
I think he's a good run stopper too now. You know, yeah. We had that debate before where he, you know, I know CJ and I were talking about it, where he wasn't the greatest run defender at one point. And it's something that he built on, you know, he was able to build on throughout time, I guess.
Which is funny because he came into the league as a run stopper.
Yeah. So, you know, I can't remember our conversation. I know we had like a mini discussion many shows ago, I suppose. But anyway, you know, we talk a lot about pass rush. The most important thing, I think, for these guys, especially when you're playing a two gap situation in a 3-4 defense, J.J. Watt will need to be a good run stopper for them. I think that's just as important. Get teams behind the chains. I think that's where the Cardinals struggled a lot last year, is where teams were able to stay ahead of themselves and make plays where the defense has to kind of guess what you're going to do on third down, for example.
We have all this communication. We create all these narratives and have all this conversation between one another for us and for the listeners. But when it comes down to it, it's certain stats or certain things that you can look at that matters more than others. Go look, teams that are good on first down, offensively and defensively, are generally your teams in the top third of the league. If you can win first down on offense, guess what? It puts you in second and mid, you're second and five, you're third and shorts. If you're not good on first down, you end up in third and long situations. And that's not good for anybody unless you're the defense. If you can win on first down and you're giving up just a couple plays per yard on first down, then your third down, your outlook on third down when you have the offense and third and sevens, third and eights, third and nines, your outlook is a lot better. And then to couple that with having edge rushers coming off the edge, like a J.J. Watt, like a Chandler Jones, in a third and seven, third and eight, passing down, I mean, hey, you're going to win a lot of games. We can probably go back and find a stat to where, hey, teams that are good on first down, they're probably in the playoffs.
Yeah, there's success rate stats. For example, you want to get 4 yards on first down, 4 yards on second down, so to speak. Stay ahead of the chains. Get yourself into that 2 or 3 yard situation at least on third down, preferably 2 yards to go.
Right.
But I do want to touch on that. When you are in that third and five, third and four or more, that's when you're throwing three defensive ends out there, getting your speed rushers all on that defensive line, pinning your ears back and going after
your NASCAR package. That's what some teams call it, your NASCAR package, when you don't have nothing but DNs out there across the line.
I like it. Well, let's switch over to the other side of the ball, the Cardinals offense. They were missing a little punch on the outside. Christian Kirk got a lot of speed, but maybe not on a down-to-down basis, or you need someone on that third down to just get open for that first down. They went out and brought in, I mean, definitely past his prime, A.J. Green, who's struggled with injuries over the past few years. I already know CJ's out on A.J. Green. Brandon, do you think A.J. Green's got anything left in the tank? What can he do for this offense? I mean, he's never played across from someone.
That's real.
He's never played across from somebody like DeAndre Hopkins before.
Yeah. I think that, you know, ultimately, you're playing in Cincinnati. You're not having great success. You're getting hurt. For A.J. Green, I think just the change of scenery in general could remotivate him and give him another couple of years of, you know, motivated success, so to speak. I think that, you know, he can play very similarly to Hopkins on the other side, where he could be a possession guy. He can be an underneath guy. And he's a guy who can go up and get the football, ultimately. I mean, if you go back in time, ultimately, A.J. Green was very similar to what DeAndre Hopkins is today. So, you know, I think that if you can squeeze 75% of what Green used to be out of him, then it's going to be a huge compliment to Hopkins. Because, I mean, last year, what did they have? Opposite. I mean, Green is an upgrade, ultimately. You never know what's going to happen with the dude. Like, he could just blow up this year, have that one great year.
Yeah. And usually a dude of his caliber pulls together one random season before he rides off into the sunset. Not necessarily elite production, but like, you know, 900 yards, 8 touchdowns, something like that.
He can be a WR2, and that, I mean, look, we're not looking for him to be the guy, right? And they have other weapons on that offense, so I get it. If he gives you the same as he's given you the past 4 years in the Arizona offense, then that's cool, because he hasn't had more than 700 yards since 2017. But if he can give you 700 yards, and you got D-Hop on the other side, I'll take that, because A.J. Green, sometimes it's not about the numbers. Sometimes it's that when he has 3 catches for 20 yards and, you know, it's 4th and 3 inside the 5 with 12 seconds to go. Well, now you don't just have D-Hop on one side to make that clutch catch all hands in the back corner of the end zone. You have A.J. Green there, too. But, I mean, man, I used to like A.J. Green, but he trashed now, so... Shout out to AJ Green.
Take out the garbage. You know, I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm making a prediction. I know it's early. We haven't even hit the draft yet, but I think the Arizona Cardinals are going to make the playoffs this year. And it's one move that's really putting me over the edge. The acquisition of Pro Bowl center Rodney Hudson from the Las Vegas Raiders. I think this... what we've seen in the past, a perfect example is the Falcons the year they made that Super Bowl run when they lost the 28-3 deficit in the Super Bowl. When they added Alex Mack from the Browns, it changed that offense. When you bring an elite center into a group that's missing someone, bringing that line together, and they have the young pieces on the line, but that veteran mauler in the middle can really change an offense.
Let me stop you, Woody. Because you said, all right, you're making a bold prediction. I don't hate it. Arizona in the playoffs. But it's the NFC West.
Yeah.
So.
I think the Seahawks fall out, honestly.
Just the Seahawks?
Seahawks. Well, I think 3 teams can make it.
3 teams can make it, but that's unlikely.
Remember, the Saints are going to be falling out this year, most likely.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. We've seen... Look, history repeats itself like short shorts. We've seen the NFC West be strong. So, I mean, hey.
Hey, yeah. They do have James Conner.
Well, they brought in James Conner, but that's not even the guy that I'm going to give shine to. Chase Edmonds last year was the explosive back on that offense. He was the dude who was making plays that turned your head. I'm all in on the Chase Edmonds train this year. In that offense, I think he's the back that they need and maximizes his skills, what they're running. And bringing a Pro Bowl center in is only going to increase that.
Yeah.
So I think that it could bring it all together. And if they can get some consistency in the run game, maybe not have that defense out on the field as much. I'm telling you, that's it's playoff. Not
even in the DNA of the air raid. The air raid is just score, score, score.
Yeah. Get
your defense out to dry.
Well, yeah.
Maybe
clear the defense.
Good luck out there.
Well, we talked about the Seahawks. I said I think they may actually slide this year. Let's talk about the Seahawks. The Seahawks, they started off the season on fire last year. Russell Wilson was just absolutely destroying. He seemed like a lock for the MVP. And then the defense, just they couldn't rush the passer. They started to lose control of the offense. They tried to muck it up a little bit. Keep the poorest defense off the field, and it threw off the whole flow of the passing game. And Russ didn't seem to like that either, because Russ has been waiting to kind of just be let go and put up those MVP numbers that we know he can put up, but they just like to run the ball a lot to keep the defense off the field, keep him fresh. And we saw Russ voice his frustrations this offseason. He wanted out. Like, he wasn't super serious about it, but he gave a list of 4 teams he'd go to. And the Chicago Bears were prepared to trade 3 first-round picks for him. So my question to y'all is this a Super Bowl or bust season for Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks? Russ is out of there if they don't make the Super Bowl, right?
Definitely. Definitely. It's Super Bowl or bust. Honestly, from within the organization, I feel like it's been Super Bowl or bust the past 3, 4, 5 years for him. I mean, when you have that much success early with Russell Wilson on a rookie contract, you know, that becomes the baseline, right? And they haven't reached nowhere near that realm since they gave up the lead to the Patriots, 4 or 5 years ago, however it's been. So it's definitely a Super Bowl or bust. And quite frankly, I wouldn't be surprised if Russ is going next year. I mean, come on, let's be serious. One, I want to know who his PR and who his agent is, because he's like, no, I don't want to get traded. But if I did get traded,
yeah,
this is my list. That's like telling your wife, like, hey, baby, I really want this to work. And I don't see myself going anywhere, but if I do, then you'll probably see me with one of these three or four girls. Like, what? It's crazy.
It is wild. DK Metcalf. Do we, like, he emerged as one of the top deep threats in the league last year. Like, we saw the potential his rookie year, and all the signs were there, but rarely do we see someone seize it in that fashion. This man emerged as one of the best deep threats we've seen in a minute. But there is still a lot of rawness to his game, raw athleticism. Do we see him add to the route tree this year, or is he still just a X, woo, just run straight down the field?
I could see him improving. He's going to have to, right? I mean, diversify your route tree, you know, improve as much as you possibly can. But again, that's why they, you know, they signed Tyler Lockett, lock him up, keep him. That's a guy that's their, you know, underneath, get you a key play and a key moment player that they use on the field. So, you know, I like the combination of those two, how they are right now. I do know, you know, for Metcalf to really, really get better in this particular offense down the line, and especially with the new offensive coordinator who's in place, I think that, you know, the play action that's going to be incorporated in the different elements of this offense, I think it's really going to actually benefit Metcalf even more, to be honest with you. And, you know, I think he could play the similar role again this year, but just try to improve a little bit more in your route running, so to speak. So,
yeah, I feel that. Better question. Let's hop over to the other side of the ball. Well, actually, before we leave the offense on Seattle, Chris Carson got re-signed to a 2-year deal. I think this was, and it got no coverage. I think this is a very underrated signing. Chris Carson is a battering ram, and he gives that offense the muck it up run that they have been their identity since Beast Mode. He's a straightforward 3 yards in a cloud of dust type runner, but he averages 4 yards of carry. He's great around the goal line. I think it was very important for them to bring him back, because if they lose that capability, you know, you have to have that at the end of the games, especially in the playoffs.
Yeah, for sure. I think Chris Carson's a good back. I don't think he's a great back, but I think it was important for them to...
Got him on 2 years, $5 million a year. That's a great contract.
It was important to retain him because, I mean, he's a Pro Bowl caliber back. Has he made any Pro Bowls in his career? I know he's went over 1,000 yards.
I think he was a replacement 1 year for somebody. Okay.
Why you do him like that? I mean, he made a Pro Bowl, replacement or not.
All right, well, let's talk about Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll, he's getting up there in years. Man still looks like a dude two-thirds his age. He looks about 20 years younger than he is. Pete, his two sons got removed. The whole weirdness over there. One was a good coach. One was questionable from what I read about. They brought in an inexperienced offensive coordinator, but it seems Russ wanted someone who was more progressive. Does Pete still have it? Nate, I know you said he's the third best coach in the division, and it kind of sat there for a moment. Like, I mean, he's the only one to win a Super Bowl, but you may have something there.
I mean, it is that view is definitely a what have you done for me lately kind of view. I mean, you have three almost guaranteed playoff teams in that division, with the exception of San Francisco, because their quarterback play is inconsistent. But that's the only reason. That's the only thing that's going to keep them out of the playoffs, right? I mean, they almost made the playoffs with Big Dick Nick Mullins one season. But I mean, I would say that I would take. If you had a coaching draft, I would take both Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay out of LA before I took Pete Carroll. I mean, Pete Carroll has mismanaged his team since going to back-to-back Super Bowls, in my opinion.
I think it's been a cap thing. They mismanaged paying that defense. They misappropriated which players were important, for sure.
I mean, I see that, but look at Russell Wilson.
Well, everything changed once Russ got big boy money. Remember, they had the the gift of having Russell Wilson on a fourth round pick deal.
Yeah, no, and I understand that, but he's gotten two contracts since then. So it's not like it's right. So it's not like that Russ getting paid is new. It's that they're not managing the situation well. And I don't think Russell Wilson is helping the situation either with his bullshit, to be
honest. I agree. I mean, look, when you have to pay your quarterback big money, that's a you problem. That's not a him problem. He did everything he was supposed to do to get his bread. So now, because your salary cap kind of, because you kind of capped as a GM, as a coach, as an owner, now it's time for you to do your job and get weapons around. Like, I know Brandon probably going to come like, oh, take a pay cut. Because, you know, Brandon love when players take pay cuts. But,
except for Mahomes.
Except for Mahomes. So, you got to pay him.
Hey, I will tell you this, guys. I mean, there's a couple ways to look at the Russell Wilson situation here. You know, he was complaining about wanting to get out at one point, obviously. And I do believe the rumor was the offensive line and all that good stuff. He was unhappy with that. Probably play calling, what Woody alluded to, obviously. Wanted a younger, more progressive style offensive coordinator. But again, you know, a lot can be said. I mean, last year he was sacked 40 plus times, and you know, a lot of that could be blamed on the offensive line, obviously, but there is a percentage of, you know, sacks that the quarterback also can be credited for as well when you're looking at advanced stats, or at least how you view it. So for example, Wilson is among the top five quarterbacks who have given up the most sacks, you know, that are placed on them rather than the offensive line. And what that means is when the quarterback's running around behind the backfield, trying to create behind the backfield on his own, or he's holding onto the football too long and he takes a sack because of that, that can't be blamed on the offensive line, right?
There's is this last season?
Yeah. So last season, Wilson ranked, you know, second among all quarterbacks in the highest rate of sacks that he had given up. So there's 14 sacks he had given up. The number one quarterback in that discussion is Deshaun Watson, right? So Lamar Jackson is 3, Kyler Murray 4, and Carson Wentz at 5. But when you look at that style of a player, though, and we just discussed that with Kyler Murray, how Kyler Murray does things to create for the offense, to make up for deficiencies, his ability to do that, there's risk and reward with that. So Wilson, again, I think it might have been more less of an argument about his own offensive line. Maybe there was some offensive line issue in his mind as well there, but the offensive coordinator thing, you know, I think that probably is a huge role. If this works out, the system, let's just say this guy, Shane Waldron, comes in, he's able to implement a full Sean McVay, you know, play action offense. We're looking at what he was doing at Wisconsin, for example, very consistently,
right,
rolling out off play action and different things like that. So I don't know. I feel like I'm kind of 50-50 because Shane Waldron's never called plays before, right? Some preseason games in the past. But I feel, you know, maybe his pedigree is there and he'll be able to do some things differently.
Yeah. I also just want to point out that's a great stat about the amount of sacks that the quarterback's responsible for. I do want to draw some parallels, though. Some of the names on your list, like Deshaun Watson and Russell Wilson, they've been two of the most unprotected quarterbacks in the league since they've been in. So I just say that to say that he may be getting protection. He may have been getting protection last year. That was last year. The previous 6-7 years in the league, I mean, it's habitual, right? If you're used to running around for your life back there, then sometimes that clock just ticked just a little faster than, you know, someone who's used to being protected. So that could have something to do with it too.
No, you're spot on. It messes up the rhythm of the offense, and it makes you skittish. You'll take off way too soon rather than holding on for a second longer in the pocket, right?
And you know what? Great coaching, a good OC, a good play caller can reverse that just like that. You know, if he can get you outside the pocket, give you some easy throws, get you in rhythm. Believe it or not, it doesn't matter who you are, how good you are. I don't care if you're Josh Allen, Russell. If you're a quarterback and you can get into a rhythm, it's what it's all about. It's, your OC, your coaches have to get you in a rhythm throughout the game in order to be successful.
Jamal Adams.
We're talking defense?
We gotta close it out with Jamal Adams. I mean, they spent 2 first-round picks on the Bull. Is he worth it?
No.
Nate thinks
so. That was absolutely the worst trade of last year.
Worst trade?
Terrible trade.
Terrible trade. They paid franchise quarterback money or value for a all-pro safety that, for all intents and purposes, now injury prone, considering the number of games he played last season.
I mean, didn't he still have like 8 sacks last year from the safety position?
I don't care how many sacks he had. How many games did they win in the playoffs? Yeah. 0. They lost to the Rams.
Gave up hella first-round picks.
Yeah, they gave up 2 first-round picks, and then they let Cam Akers run for just under 100 yards.
Yeah, Cam Akers is a beast, though.
We'll see.
Yeah, we will see. We will see.
One of us will be wrong. One of us will be right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and one of us will be holding the trophy in our LSU Dynasty League. And if we had to take the odds on that, it's probably me because I've won 2 of them, been to 3 already.
Yeah, don't count me out. I've been to 2, 1, 1. It's all right. Beat you, didn't I?
long pick. Here you go. Championship matchup, B-Lon versus Nasty Nate.
Oh, wow.
I'm glad you picked yourself, because if you weren't about to pick yourself, I was about to find one of these little soundboards on here. So I'm glad you picked yourself. You got to have that self-confidence.
Brandon, before we move on from Seattle, though, Seattle's proven in the past they're very good at picking in the middle rounds. They take risks on athletic guys in the first round, and they haven't really panned out the past 5 years or so. You know, we've seen a lot of dudes that just haven't filled out, but they get a lot of starters from those middle round picks. Who's someone that they target here in the second round?
Well, I mean, their first pick isn't until, I believe, 56. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. Ultimately, what I believe they should do with their draft pick is they're going to need to probably go somewhere like potentially interior offensive line, right? You want to try to focus in on some of the issues that Russell Wilson might have with the offensive line himself personally. You might look at linebacker. You might look at the cornerback position. Not might. I mean, you probably should look at the cornerback position, obviously, throughout the draft. But, I mean, they have needs across the entirety of, you know, the defense. Overall, though, I think, you know, you could probably go with somebody maybe like a Josh Myers from Ohio State, for example. If you're looking for interior offensive line, that'd probably be one of the options I'd go after. Let's just say maybe if you're looking at the linebacker position, you want to find some stability at linebacker. Maybe you go with somebody like a Nick Bolton if he's, you know, somewhere in that area, which he might not make it that far. But again, there's going to be some good interior offensive linemen available. Whoa.
We might. I like you brought up linebacker there, Brandon, because one thing that the Seahawks that's still developing, we should talk about before we move on, is KJ Wright, one of their borderline Pro Bowl level linebacker who's been there for a few years, and he's elevated his play a lot over the past few years. He's one of the best coverage linebackers in the league. Him and Bobby Wagner are an amazing duo. He wants like no hometown discount, and Seattle's maxed out because of the Jamal Adams contract and Russell Wilson contract. So, but other teams aren't wanting to pay the older linebacker, so he's still sitting out there in the free agent market. Whoa. So if they can't re-sign KJ Wright or bring him back, they may be forced to take a linebacker.
Yeah.
I'm going to say this.
They should.
It sounds like Seattle, just based on what Brandon gave us, basically, Seattle needs to draft best available outside of receiver. They don't. They obviously their receiving core is set.
Or running back. They're set at running back too.
I mean, running back. That would be towards the bottom of my list too.
They got Rashad Penny coming back. He's back from injury, so they got Carson in him. Yeah.
They need Jesus.
They need Jesus. Pete looks like a handsome Jesus. Oh man, I'm a sucker for the sound effects. Well, let's talk about these guys. You know, I'm gonna catch some slack here because I've taken a shine into these guys. They're in my backyard. They play 10 minutes away from my residence.
Josh, you live in New York now?
The Los Angeles Rams.
Oh, my bad. Okay. It's hard to keep up.
Yeah. Anyways. The Rams, last year, they surprised some people. Who? Not me, because I was on that train tooting from the beginning. I was saying, let's go. They're going to win this division. And, you know, they slid right into the playoffs where they belonged. And Jared Goff did what Jared Goff does. I tried to defend him for a whole season, but eventually, you know, sometimes you got to admit defeat and send him to Nate's team. Oh, man. The trade.
Hey, all right. This coming from the guy that wanted to defend Jared Goff all last season.
Well, now he's lying.
I just want you to, I want you to go on record, and I want to hear you say I was wrong about Jared Goff.
I was wrong about Jared Goff. Tiny hands. He just regressed, man. He wasn't making the reads, and he just didn't have it.
It's not that he regressed. It's that he couldn't advance any further, and teams had figured him out.
I don't have much to say about this specific topic. I will say that when I read the outline this morning,
thank you.
I laughed like really, really hard at the first bullet point, and it was about Matthew Stafford and Jared Goff. No, Woody, we knew.
There wasn't one person. There's not one person in the football that was like, yeah. How much better is Matthew Stafford than Jared Goff? Or like Matt, I don't know.
News to me.
Is that news to you? That's brand new.
Guys, I would say, though, statistically, they are rather similar, though.
Well, we'll just wait until Jared Goff plays the season in Detroit and puts up 1,500 yards passing, 10 interceptions. Hey, Woody, your favorite QB, famous Jameis? Let's be honest. Jared Goff could easily throw 30 touchdowns and 40 interceptions on the Lions.
I don't know if he could throw 30 touchdowns.
Yeah, Jameis is a special player. Jameis is special.
Yeah, the Detroit just let all their receivers walk.
Yeah, they're like, good luck, Jared.
Do they have anybody on the roster that plays wide receiver right now?
Oh, yeah, Tyrell Williams, bro. We just did this offseason review.
Oh, that's right. The guy that couldn't start for the Raiders.
Do they have? No, I'm just kidding.
And then they're going to draft the 135-pound receiver from Alabama.
Not last year.
Nate's over here talking about, look, they got Perriman, they got Williams, they got Allison, Hawkinson.
Hey, their best, again, thank you. Their best receiver is a fucking tight end. Yeah. And you know what's gonna be even better? Is because there are gonna be five quarterbacks taken ahead of them, and they're gonna end up picking Kyle Pitts. Not like end up like, oh, that's a bummer. It's like, we're gonna name another franchise that have drafted three tight ends in the first round.
No,
I'm gonna tell you this.
Sorry, Brandon. Detroit need to just cancel drafting pass catchers in the top 10. Just period.
Timeout.
Detroit's wide receivers are going to look good in practice, though, against that secondary. So they're going to be convinced that it's all good. And then they're going to start the season and be like, oh,
Jeffrey Yudoka is not bad.
Hey, I mean, you mean Okuda? Don't hate on
man. That African.
You didn't slander it too bad. You know why? Because he played so bad last year. It ain't no reason to get his name right.
Oh, man.
That's what I thought you were slandering him. We're playing bad. That's
like legit. Hey, CJ, I agree with that take, with the exception of one player, Calvin Johnson. Mic drop.
Okay, yeah. I mean, that was a long time ago.
I know, right? That was the last good draft pick we had.
One out of three in the top 10 ain't bad.
Because we draft there every year. Let's get back.
We're going to have to cut it out.
Let's go to the Rams.
My bad. That's my fault.
The Los Angeles Rams. Now,
much better.
The Rams went out and they forfeited their whole. They did the same thing they did with Jalen Ramsey. They sent a plethora of picks, first round draft picks, to the Detroit Lions. They brought in a real deal starting quarterback, though. Matthew Stafford can put a team on his back to see. Well, what sound effect was that?
That was the explosion. That was from Matt Stafford.
Okay. All right. Yeah, Matt Stafford. He could put a team on his back. He's a real deal quarterback. I love this dude. And he comes in, and I don't think he's ever had a play caller like Sean McVay in his career. Matthew Stafford has been a just run deep, I'm a chuck it type guy. To actually have a coach that's going to scheme wide receivers open for, or not even just wide receivers, running backs, tight ends, that's going to scheme players open for him and make his job easier, that's going to be a game changer for him. Are we all expecting a career year from Matt Stafford here if he can stay healthy?
Yes. He's a dark horse MVP candidate.
Whoa. I would say it's the other way around, too, for McVay. Having a quarterback that you don't have to scheme. I think it's the other way around for McVay. Having the quarterback who you don't have to scheme quite as much for. A guy who can make plays on his own, right?
Hey, Sean's like, hey, we got a quarterback that can drop back now.
Yeah, a guy I don't have to draw things up for. You know, we're going to roll out about 7 or 8 times. You know, like, we don't have to do that so much to scheme things up. But when they do, it's there. Stafford's adequate enough to do all those things. But I will say this. You said dark horse, what, MVP candidate for Stafford?
Yeah.
And when I was doing, like, the situational analysis a couple months ago, just kind of looking ahead, just kind of, you know, even before free agency and everything, it looks like the two best teams are going to end up being the Rams and Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
So we could be talking right now a team that could make the NFC championship in the Rams versus the Tampa Bay Bucks. It could be Stafford versus Brady.
Well, the thing that made the Rams a really tough team to beat last year was obviously their defense. The defense was elite last year. One of the greatest defensive players of all time in Aaron Donald. We're going to have to start talking about him in the same breath as Reggie White and Bruce Irvin and Warren Sapp. And in the next few years to come, we are.
Okay.
We're getting to that level. John Johnson, though, who's kind of held it down in the back for the Rams. Good safety. Got paid. Went to Cleveland. There's some good safeties marked in the second round value this year, though. Do we see maybe the Rams going after a safety in the draft?
Do they? I mean, they've got, judging by what they already have now, I mean, I feel like they might roll with what they already have. I could see them going linebacker.
They don't have, they don't have any dire needs.
Yeah, I mean, they're pretty open to anything. Like on the offensive side of the ball, I don't see them needing to do much of anything, to be honest with you. Defensive side, defensive front is so, I mean,
well, they need help on the line.
And I was going to say, if you're in a position that the Rams are in, they're pretty good across the board. They could use some help on the offensive line. That's one place I would look.
Where do you guys see the weakness offensive line wise though?
I mean, they've been weak on the offensive line with Andrew Whitworth not being able to stay healthy. That's the reason why they had to bring two tight end sets more prevalent.
Yeah, boy, what, 39? Yeah. So, wouldn't be a bad get. And then I also wouldn't mind seeing them draft a receiver. Robert Woods getting closer to 30. Cooper Kupp, he's been in the league for, what, 3-4 years. But when he came into the league, he was like 24. And he is approaching a contract year. So, with that being said, it being a super deep receiver class, you might be able to find some really good value there in the second, maybe even the third round.
I do want to bring up that the offensive line will benefit from Matthew Stafford, I think, because of not needing to scheme things up or have more long drawn out plays where the blocks have to be sustained for a longer period of time. Yeah. So I think Stafford's ability to be more in rhythm with throws, I think just standing in the pocket will benefit Whitworth, Havenstein, and the entirety of the offensive line.
Well, you made a great point there, Brandon, because the main thing, like the stats of Jared Goff throwing outside of play action were horrendous. So they have a quarterback that can actually throw outside of the play action. What that'll just do for the play action in itself.
It just makes him so much. I'm excited to really see this.
I hope he fits.
Even from a fantasy standpoint as well, too.
Yeah.
If we wanted to talk about that for Matthew Stafford.
Let's talk about the targets for fantasy. So Gerald Everett, he actually left to the Seahawks. I think that was a great pickup for the Seahawks.
Yeah.
Because he's deceptively athletic. Russ could hit him down the seam easy. But that means that they have Tyler Higbee, Higpen was the quarterback from a few years ago. Tyler Higbee and Lil Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods, and then the dark horse they let Josh Reynolds walk. They have who's the wide receiver I'm thinking of out of Florida?
Deshaun. Oh.
Van Jefferson.
Van Jefferson. Oh. Thank you. The Keenan Allen comparison on the routes. He started to emerge. He started to emerge last year, towards the end of the year, and he had a touchdown catch in the playoffs that was huge.
Yeah.
So we're going to see more Van Jefferson, but then they brought in old man DeSean Jackson, and that speed keeps defenses honest to this day. Just having him out there.
You know that might be more reason for them to go receiver. It just kind of, it gives us a sense into what they're thinking, right? Mm-hmm. So you go out there and you get a guy like DeSean Jackson. And Woody, I think we had a conversation about this a few weeks ago. Because if you rewind it a few years ago, Sean McVay, Jared Goff, when they were at their best, they had three receivers. And it was one guy assuming that deep threat, and that was Brandon Cooks. This past year, they really didn't have that. You wanted Josh Reynolds to be that. He wasn't a bad player, but he's not Brandon Cooks. This coming year, for 2021, they bring in DeSean Jackson, who still, you talk to corners now, and they still say, guy's super fast. But he can't stay healthy. So that's the thing with DeSean Jackson, but those I could hammies, see them.
Man. The hammies with the
spray. Yeah, I could see them going in the draft and trying to find a speed guy. You know, because, again, if they go out there and if they went out there and got DeSean Jackson, it means that they feel as though they may have a hole in the receiving corps somewhere. Because Van Jefferson, I think he's going to be a pretty good player, but I think he'll more so slide into that Cooper Kupp role if Cooper Kupp leaves. Cooper Kupp's not a deep threat. Van Jefferson, I think he's like a 4-5 guy, real smooth. The Keenan Allen comparison was a great one, but I think he'll be able to slide into Cooper Kupp spot, get a deep threat to maintain another spot. And I think Sean McVay, man, he's ecstatic. He's probably the most excited head coach for this coming up season because this is the first time in his head coaching career he's had at least an average quarterback.
All right, well, here's a deep cut scheme fit question, guys. So we've seen Matthew Stafford have success with bigger, taller, physical wide receivers. Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp, they're route runners. They're finesse dudes. Van Jefferson as well. Are we going to see him maybe struggle not having that bigger target?
It'll be fine. Because we saw Matt Stafford throw to Marvin Jones and Golden Tate. Golden Tate's a small guy. So, I mean, he's had to toss it to guys who kind of relied more on separation and route running instead of athleticism. I think it'll be okay.
And let's not even forget, like, we're just singing the praises of what Stafford does for this offense. Adding Stafford to this offense, how much does that open the run game for Cam Akers and Darrell Henderson? Like, we saw them both kind of come out of their shells last year and start to emerge. Henderson obviously struggled a little bit with injuries. Akers looked like he could be a workhorse. They could be a really effective 1-2 combo next year.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have tons of potential. They could be one of the best backfield duos in over NFL. The next year or two, yeah. if they can both stay healthy. And it's been some injury concerns early for both of them early in their career. So that's the only question mark.
Cam Akers looked like a stud last year at the end of the year. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm really having a hard problem deciding whether I'm going to take the upside of Cam Akers in the third round or Melvin Gordon. Now that Travis Love, Patrick Lindsay. Yeah.
Phillip
Lindsay.
Whatever.
Yeah. Lindsay's gone. But like, do I take the Melvin Gordon workhorse? It's not super flashy, or do I take the upside with Cam? I'm leaning towards Cam right now.
Nah, bro, you definitely go Cam. Definitely go Cam. Without question. The Denver man, it's questioning quarterback. When you got a questioning quarterback, it makes me question everything else.
That's true. All right, well, that's going to wrap us up for the Rams. We got a good 15 minutes left. The San Francisco 49ers. Kyle Shanahan last year, probably his more impressive coaching job than his Super Bowl year, honestly. With the amount of injuries that his team suffered, he still was able to put up points and scheme up wins, and they were around 500 last year. They made a playoff push at the end of the year.
Yeah, they had a chance with a month left in the season. So
they knocked it out of the park last year, pricking Brandon Ayuk out of Arizona State. Him and Deebo Samuels may be the most positionless, versatile wide receiver combos we've seen. They can both run reverses, take run plays up the middle. It's they're perfect scheme fits for what Kyle Shanahan wants to do with that offense. It really, like, he knocked it out of the park there. Deebo Samuels is having trouble staying healthy, though, and it's starting to get concerning because every time he gets healthy, something else pops up.
Yep.
It has to do with his usage, too. I mean, when you're trying to use this guy, I've seen them run trap plays and everything weird, crazy. I mean, they get super creative with him. He'll be running between the tackles off the on an end around and everything else. So, yeah. you got to be careful with that. And that is Shanahan's system, super physical. But
the thing that we saw the weakness in is when Jimmy Garoppolo came back last year, he did not look like a starting NFL quarterback. Let's just be honest. He took this team to the Super Bowl and was already on thin ice. Like, it wasn't like he had an amazing year that year he took them to the Super Bowl. And he's getting paid like an elite starter. So, you know, the hot seat gets even hotter when you're getting paid for a certain level of performance. And you may be getting the team where it needs to go, but you're not putting up the numbers that you're getting paid to put up. So what did Kyle Shanahan do? He decided, I got my team. I just need my quarterback. Bam. He made the Dolphins' future just absolutely stacked. These guys are rich with draft picks, but they are now sitting at the number three spot in the draft, and they are going to take a quarterback. And the question on everyone's mind, is it Justin Fields or is it Mac Jones? Now, Brandon, from a scheme fit, who are you picking with the number three pick, San Francisco 49ers on the clock?
I would probably go... I want to go Justin Fields for my own personal, even within that scheme. But the more that it comes down to the thought process of the Matt Ryan style quarterback that Shanahan had success with, I can see the Mac Jones fit as well. Now, I've come to see a lot of positives out of Mac Jones. And Justin Fields, obviously, I've watched a lot more Justin Fields over time when comparing to Mac Jones. But, you know, throughout the process this year, looking at Mac Jones and then realizing, OK, it's not just surrounding talent for him. I feel like you could go either way, guys. Like, you could go Mac. Listen, I want to make this abundantly clear right now. It doesn't matter who it is that he picks. To be honest with you, he could go Justin Fields. He could go Mac Jones. He could go Trey Lance. For the love of God, if Trevor Lawrence for some reason fell into it, it doesn't matter. It could be Kyle Trask, okay, in this spot. And he will find a way to scheme things to make him play, to make that player a far better player based on the situation. But again, I'm starting to believe more and more it's going to be Mac Jones. That's what I believe.
That's the noise I'm hearing. But the one thing that I will say is Adam Schefter came out and said that was a lock, and he walked it back.
Well, that's probably because they're
Schefter doesn't normally say stuff without it being set in stone. And then so for him to walk it back means there's something there.
And Shanahan made appearances at just about everybody's pro day as well to make a point to kind of not show his hand, I believe. So
don't you think Trey Lance would be really interesting to see in that diverse of an offense with the wide receiver reverses and just how much you get him on a bootleg?
But the thing is, I feel like Shanahan wants a structured guy, you know what I mean? Like somebody who's just gonna stay within his scheme. I don't need you to do anything crazy. Let's distribute the football, right? And make plays and stay healthy.
I think, yeah, I just love the speed. That's why I think Fields is the answer there.
I like it.
Changes, like, it adds an element to that offense.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
It does. Because
they don't need him to run, but the fact that he can changes that offense.
Just imagine, like, over just the last 3 or 4 years, we've seen Shanahan use his creativity. And even the version of the offense that we see now in San Francisco is a bit different from the version of his offense we saw in Atlanta. We didn't see as much, you know, jet sweeps and misdirections and handing the ball off to the tight end and to the receiver split out wide. So from that standpoint, Like, it's very different. A lot of the same concepts, but then if you add a running quarterback to that that runs a 4-4, like, that, oh, man, it puts so much pressure. I mean, even outside of Shanahan's defense, having a guy, that type of athlete back there puts so much pressure on the defense. And then just to pair it with Shanahan, and then knowing Debo could go deep or take a handoff at any given moment. Ayuk, same thing. Hell, they'll hand it off to Kittle. Jeff Wilson, he looked good last year when he's healthy. Mostert clocked as one of the fastest running backs last year before he got hurt. So, I mean, it's a lot of promise there. I think Brandon's right, though. I think whoever you put back there, that's a playoff team.
Honestly, too, I mean, look at what he was able to do with Garoppolo when he was healthy, you know? Yep. I mean,
they won like 75% of their games or something like that when Jimmy G starts, so.
Got to a Super Bowl.
That's real. George Kittle, his production has dipped 3 years in a row. Is there a cause for concern?
He can't stay healthy.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it used to be Travis and George. Now it's just Travis, right?
Yeah, without question. Without question. And the thing that scares me with Kittle is Kittle's a physical player. I mean, granted, he plays tight end. But when you compare him to a guy like Travis Kelce, you watch him play the tight end position, and he's good, he's athletic. You can Travis tell he's is super good. Smart.
He can avoid contact, though. Like, right. He'll fall. George is going to try to run through you.
Kittle's looking for contact.
Exactly.
Like, who can I hit?
He's super physical, and that's what's so scary. Me. Yeah, that's what's so scary. But same thing with Debo. I mean, Debo, he's super physical, too, and, like, he's going to look to run you over. He's not going to really run out of bounds or any of that, so...
Well, the dangerous part about George now is he's making that elite money.
Yep. Yeah.
So, right, well, then we're going to get okey-doked and Kyle Pitts will be the pick. All right.
Oh, man. I mean,
God, imagine them adding Kyle Pitts.
And then Shanahan goes and gets Davis Mills from Stanford late. And, all right. Here we go.
That would be wild. And you know what's funny? Something like that's going to happen Thursday. I don't think that's going to happen, but something's going to happen that's going to, like, take us for, like a.
I can't wait, man. This draft is like Christmas. It's so loaded with offensive talent. I can't wait for it.
And we're going to see a bunch of tackles go.
That's
the realistic thing that should be happening.
I was talking to CJ about this yesterday. Brandon, I really think that the San Francisco 49ers backfield this year is going to be beastly. Fantasy owners, listen to this. LSG, turn the speakers off. I'm an idiot. Don't listen to anything I have to say.
This should be paywalled.
This should be paywalled.
Yep. This
Raheem Mostert and Jeffrey Wilson are the dudes. They let Tevin Coleman walk. McKinnon's gone. We've seen that they love Jeffrey Wilson, and Mostert he's got this breakaway speed. They added Alex Mack to this line. When you bring that center, look what Alex Mack did for the Kyle Shanahan offense the year he came in to Atlanta. Look at what he did for them. He made that team, like, Devontae Freeman dominated that year.
You draft Devontae Freeman last year.
That's true. Yeah. Well, not last year. That was 2 years ago.
2 years ago. You still believe.
Yeah, I still believe.
Woody, when you bring that up, too, it gets me thinking. You bring that guy in, he already understands, like, the system.
Yeah, he doesn't have to be elite. Everybody, he can just be a high performer.
Everybody's going to be better around him. All four linemen are going to be better because of Alex Mack.
Yeah, and they retained, what's his name, Trent Williams.
It makes it point more towards maybe a Mac Jones.
I think they are going to punch people in the mouth next year running the ball. I think they're going back to Harbaugh style, that offensive line that's just punishes people running the ball. That's 6-7 yards a pop that we saw that Super Bowl year with Mostert at the end of the year. I think they're going back to what works.
And look, I just talked about Shanahan's creativity and how much he handed the ball off to the back, to the receivers and whatnot. To your point, Woody, Shanahan probably doesn't really want to do that if he doesn't have to, right?
Thank you.
So a lot of what we saw last year was because of necessity, right? Yeah. If they can, as you said, Woody, just pound the rock. Look,
That makes those trick plays so much more dangerous when they're already pounding the ball and guys are over.
If an OC could call an ISO or power on every play, he would.
Yeah, I would.
But it's just not realistic. But with this offensive line that they're getting, they might be on to something.
Now, the 49ers do have one hole that they're going to need to field. And
which hole is that? The special hole.
The secondary hole. So they have problems at corner. They have problems at corner and safety. They don't have elite players at that, but they have the pass rush that can make up for it. And the linebackers. They have Warner's amazing. Obviously, you have Armstead and Nick Bosa still. So that's going to help you cover up on the secondary. But Richard Sherman, they haven't brought him back yet. I don't know if they're going to bring him back.
They won't. I don't think they will. So,
yeah, well, he was part of the reason they got burned in the Super Bowl, because he can't match up against those elite players anymore. Elite speed players, at least. Yeah, he was his own coverage guy.
Get that man a chance. Look, and I'm playing above average, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm also all lost your giving
defensive coordinator.
Yeah, I know. He's been connected to a few different teams, you know, who are connected to Seattle. One of them, Dan Quinn, obviously, in Dallas. A few others out there. But I don't know. Everyone's being, you know.
Can the 49ers plug holes in their secondary, though? Because if they can, we're talking about a Super Bowl-caliber team here. If they get the right quarterback.
I mean, they're not in, like, a terrible spot at corner. I wouldn't say they're, like, in dire straits, even at safety, to be honest with you guys. I mean,
who's there? Mosley's one of the corners, right?
Yeah, Mosley. Then they've got their nickel corner is going to be Kawan Williams. They've got Jason Verrett over on the opposite side. And then at safety, you've got Tavarius Moore and you've got Ward opposite of him. So Jimmy Ward is pretty much the centerpiece, I suppose, of that secondary. But again, you know, if you're getting pressure on the quarterback, it's going to help. So you're going to have to be creative up front. I'm more worried about Robert Saleh not being there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's huge too.
They kept the staff pretty much intact, though. So they're going to have the same defense.
But Saleh really was a progressive defensive mind. Like, that's something we should not underestimate.
Who did they hire? Did they hire from within to fill
the next man up?
Yep. That's what they did. It's D'Amico. I believe it's D'Amico Ryans.
Oh, D'Amico from the Texans. Stop
playing. Word.
Full circle.
Yeah, he was the inside linebacker coach for 3 seasons and had built up a very explosive unit.
I'm glad D'Amico's coaching, man. He was amazing his first couple years. Then he got those injuries and he just had to bow out early. Wasn't the same player.
Yeah.
His last year, I remember, was Philly, right? He was on Philly a few years ago. He rose through those coaching ranks fast, man. He must be a very smart player.
Yeah, I mean, he's being obviously
credited with
Fred Warner. Yeah, the development of Fred Warner.
Any player moving up that fast means you have elite intelligence as a football player, as a middle linebacker should.
I was just trying to suck you into the black red.
I know. Sometimes it's okay. I'm invited to the cookout, bro. I'm good. I don't need. I can defend myself all day.
You are invited to the cookout. Brandon's invited to the cookout too.
The cookout's at Brandon's house.
Hell yeah.
In the hood. Yeah.
You can't play no Eminem there though.
Nah, unless it's Renegade, because he did get Jay-Z on his own track. But we'll talk about that later.
He did. No questions asked.
But yeah, that's gonna wrap up our 49ers coverage, guys. Super Bowl or bust for 49ers this year? Like that's why they made that trade, right? I need my quarterback.
No, I don't think it's Super Bowl. And it's crazy to say that because it's Super Bowl or bust for, in my opinion, for a team like Seattle. But because San Fran, they're drafting three, they get a young quarterback, I don't think it's Super Bowl or bust. Their infrastructure is nasty. And they're young. All the guys that we've named are young. Bosa, he's young. They drafted a one technique. Was it Derek Brown? To replace Buckner.
Javon Kinlaw.
There we go. Thank you. From Mississippi. Played somewhere in the SEC.
South Carolina.
There we go. But, so, I mean... They're just super young across the board. Fred Warner, he's young. So
Trey Greenlaw.
It's not Super Bowl or bust. They have a pretty large window, and it sucks because the infrastructure that they have there, John Lynch and Shanahan's doing, it's scary, man. It's scary. This might be the new New England Patriots before you know it.
Man. Shanahan, you don't want to lose Shanahan. That's the thing. Right? Yeah, so you've got to get support that man. Right. Because it's not Shanahan out the door. It's the GM.
It's Shanahan, Sean McVay, Andy Reid. And tell me if I'm missing somebody, but those are the three coaches that I feel like adds 3 points a game. Maybe a touchdown a game.
Can I touch on something real fast?
Touch me all over.
Just if we're going to preview. I want to preview something that you don't even know about, but I've been thinking about this. We need to get together and we need to do rankings top to bottom, every single position. I have a system that I drew it up the other day that I kind of want to change into and format so it's real uniform. But I think that I want everybody's input, and I even want to do it with the coaches. So we'll have OC, DC, head coach, and every position we'll kind of look at. But just touch on that, because I think
that's Rain a special type of football Rain Man, bro. Yeah. Special type of football Rain Man. All right, well, that's going to wrap us up for our 5-Tool Sports NFC West coverage. Now, we got all that content out there for you guys. If you listen to this episode and you haven't listened to our past division, we went through every division. Your team's out there. Go look it up. Go check it out. See what they're doing. This is content that stays until the new season starts. We're going to start draft coverage now. We're going to be doing live draft broadcasts on Twitch when the first and second round are going off. We're going to be doing a preview mock draft where we're all putting on our GM hats. The fun's just... the fun's just starting, y'all. The fun's just starting. The bombs is dropping. And, you know, we're going to start ramping up our content. And thing, just get excited for football, y'all. Season 2, 5-Tool
Sports Podcast. Coming, baby.
Here it comes.
Yeah, it'll be here before you know it. Summer's over. I wish every summer away.
Yeah. Shout out MCash for the fire theme song, setting the precedent for each and every show. And as always, check out our sister site, footballscout365.com. And that'll change the way you play fantasy and look at the game in itself. For all of us here at 5-Tool Sports, we say thank you for listening. We're out. My mama says you know that I ain't living right. I'd rather chase my dreams than live with regrets. Sometimes I think I let my demons get the best, but God be watching me with every step. So many nights, man, I was stressing and finessing, had to hustle to acquire a check.